If some of Sartre's young conquests were fascinated by his relationship with Beauvoir, those of us who read Beauvoir's memoirs were also seduced by their relationship, which Beauvoir did make into something of a legend. I thought I'd just read you a bit from my preface. Okay. Which justifies my enterprise, but also explains my own passion for this subject in my youth. They often said they would like the public to know the truth about their personal lives. It wouldn't occur to me to get rid of letters and... This is my preface, right? It wouldn't occur to me to get rid of letters and documents concerning my private life, Sartre said. So much the better if this means I will be transparent to posterity. I think that transparency should always be substituted for secrecy. Both remarked in interviews that they would have liked to have been more open about their own sexuality, and the only thing that held them back was that other people were involved. I think we have to remember that they came from a sort of Victorian world where a lot of hypocrisy reigned behind closed doors, and that this was the world they were protesting against. When Beauvoir was 70, the German feminist Alice Schwarzer asked her if there was anything she had not written in her memoirs that she would say now if she could write them again. "Yes," Beauvoir replied, "I would have liked to have given a frank and balanced account of my own sexuality, a truly sincere one from a feminist point of view. I'd like to tell women about my life in terms of my own sexuality, because it's not just a personal matter, but a political one too. I didn't write about it at the time because I didn't appreciate the importance of this question, nor the need for personal honesty. And I'm very unlikely to write about it now because this kind of confession wouldn't just affect me, it would also affect certain people who are very close to me." There were omissions in Beauvoir's memoirs, but there was also a lot that she said, enough to excite generations of readers. From the time they started teaching in the early 1930s, Sartre and Beauvoir were extremely conscious of being a model to young people. They liked teaching and enjoyed influencing youthful minds. Their enduring friendships were always with much younger people, both readily inspired acolytes, as Sartre called them. This phenomenon hugely gained in momentum when Beauvoir's memoirs began to appear in 1958. In the 60s and 70s, those years of heady social experimentation, innumerable young people took Sartre and Beauvoir's open relationship as their model. I did too. When I read Beauvoir's memoirs in the late 60s, I started university in 1969, I was exhilarated, intoxicated, one might say. She made the impossible seem possible. Didn't we all want an intellectual partner with whom we could share our work, ideas, and slightest thoughts? Didn't everyone want to write in Paris cafes amid the clatter of coffee cups and the hubbub of voices and spend their summers in Rome in complicated but apparently harmonious foursomes? Who wanted monogamy when one could have freedom and stability, love affairs and commitment? In November 1976, I interviewed Beauvoir in her apartment beside the Montparnasse Cemetery. I was writing a thesis on Simone de Beauvoir, an existentialist autobiography, and I was deeply involved in the women's movement. I was 25, and Beauvoir had hugely influenced my life. 4 years later, in 1980, Sartre died. Beauvoir died in 1986. Soon after, their letters to each other were published. They were extraordinary letters. Tender, funny, observant, detailed, full of colour, real writer's letters. But we also saw how much Sartre and Beauvoir lied to their lovers and how complicit they were in each other's fabrications. We were, I think we can say down to the last reader, stunned and dismayed. How could they tell so many half-truths, as Sartre called them, to an array of emotionally unstable young girls? How could Sartre write so coldly and clinically about taking his latest girlfriend's virginity? And here was Beauvoir, who throughout her life had publicly denied ever having had an affair with a woman, telling Sartre about her pleasurable nights making love with young women. We readers felt we had been conned, really, along with their lovers. Since then, since their deaths, in the last 20 years, Sartre and Beauvoir have continued to divulge their tangled secrets from beyond the grave. Beauvoir's love letters to Nelson Algren, which appeared in 1997, gave us a quite different picture of her. She seemed so passionate, so much in love. And 2 years ago, Beauvoir's cross-correspondence with her lover Jacques Laurent Bost came out in France and left readers here utterly charmed by both of them. Some wondered why on earth she had stuck with Sartre. Bost was good-looking, it has to be said. As one critic wrote, how could she live with that bespectacled fellow, with his metallic procurer's voice, his creased blue suit, his obsession with crabs, homosexuals, tree roots, the slime of being, and the whole Heideggerian jam,